The we're going to go backwards a minute. Back to verse 4.
Romans 4?
No, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, we talked a great deal about what that meant, but what we talked about last night in big group is really what it is. It's to gird up the loins of your mind. It's to awake from sleep. It's to stop chasing the shadows that pass in the night. It's to wake up. So the first thing that happens when you awaken, you look around and you see, my God, I can't believe that I've wasted all this time chasing shadows and dreams and ambitions. But anyway, the component of possessing your vessel in sanctification and honor is this act of girding up the loins of your mind. And so we're going to spend some time traveling through the scriptures about this girding and see what we can discern. Okay?
There you go.
What?
Putting time in the scriptures.
Second Samuel. You couldn't wait. You couldn't stand back.
No, I couldn't.
Second Samuel.
Second Samuel.
Chapter 3, I mean. I won't go through all the history here, but Joab kills Abner. And then in verse 31, David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, "Rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner." And the king and King David himself followed the bier. Now, here we're girding up with sackcloth. That means they totally wrapped themselves in sackcloth as their covering. Now, you remember, sackcloth was the garment or the material that was made from the hair of the offerings of the animals that were sacrificed. And when you put on sackcloth, you were the ultimate in repenting and seeing the silliness of your way. Well, that's what we need to do. If you haven't yet tasted and known this position of remaining in the position of in the mercy seat in Christ, then what's needed is you need to seriously take a look and see how you have murdered your whole life when anyone got in the way of your idol. And that we each need to gird ourselves in sackcloth so that there is true repentance. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody not understand that? How many people you've murdered when they get in your way? All right. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4. Few pages to the right. Second Kings chapter 4. Oh. This is this is about Elisha, the one who had the double mantle of Elijah. And Elisha, the widow was out of oil, and he did this thing where he had to go and borrow all the vessels that you can find, and then all of a sudden the oil was filled miraculously. And then there's just let's go to verse 27. And when she came to the man of God up to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away, and the man of God said to her, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it, from me, and hath not told me." Then she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child." So here we have the idea of there was a specific thing that had to take place. And so he girded up, paid no attention to anything else until he went to the child that had died and laid the staff of Elisha on him. So that's the idea that there's nothing else to do when you do this girding up. It's the idea that when you went into the temple, remember, you could not carry any money. You could not go into the temple with the intention of going anywhere else. You could not go into the temple with, if there was any idolatry, if you hadn't forgiven, you couldn't go into the court of Israel. You could stay in the court down below in the court of women, but you couldn't go in. So here and that's what you had to do then. You had to gird up not only the loins of your body, but the loins of your mind. Amen? Okay, let's go to 9:1, 2 Kings.
Is this kind of like Seder, before Seder, you gird up the loins of your mind and you abandon all?
Yeah, nothing else exists outside. And when you drink the cup of sanctification, that seals it. When you take the communion, when you take the wine and the bread, or the matzah, you eat it only, it's the after meal, the afkomen. And so you can only really do the afkomen and when you're sated with everything else, when you're fed up with everything else, because you've eaten the ceremonial meal, then you take the bread and the wine. So it's a place of, in some, it would be the place of desperation. And for us, it's the place of great joy. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, again, wait a minute, we could do this all day. It's in, for those that are interested in this, I'm going to just, we just read 2 Samuel 3:31, 2 Kings 4:29, and also 2 Kings 9:1. But let's go to Job 38:3. We're going to skip a few. Verse 1 of chapter 38. Then the Lord, the whole chapter of 37 is about the wisdom of God, and no man can know what he's doing, etc. And then God challenges Job in verse 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Then God's going to show Jacob's ignorance. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with doors, etc. So he's making fun of Job, because Job was acting like he knew something. And so he said, gird up the loins, like a man. Like, it's almost like he's saying, do this with integrity. Push everything in your mind as far as it will go, and you'll see what an idiot all of us are after our mind. Amen? What's going on outside? Okay, gird up now thy loins like a man, like one doing the thing in front of him.
Yeah, this is like, these questions are going to take your whole self. You know, what I'm about to do here is going to, you're going to have to do it with no distractions. You're going to have to do
right.
It, you know, it's not a casual conversation we're having.
Your single-mindedness, it's another way of saying it is you're set. Your face is set like flint to go up to Jerusalem. Nothing distracting. Okay, go to Job 40. No, let's go backwards. Go to Job 12 for a minute. This is the whole chapter 10 is where Job is answering his friend's stupidity. No, you don't go there. That's too much. It's Job. If you want to go there, it's for those listening. It's Job 12:18. Let's go to Isaiah 15:3. The burden of Moab. Now, Moab, who, remember what Moab is?
Another country.
Yeah, but it's the root of it. I mean, the meaning of it is that's where, essentially, that's where Gentiles are. Okay? The burden of Moab. Because in the night, Ar of Moab is laid to waste and brought to silence, because in the night Kir of Moab is laid waste and brought to silence. He has gone up to Bajith and to Dibon, the high places, to weep. Moab shall howl over Nebo and over Medeba. All their heads shall be baldness and every beard cut off. In their streets they shall gird themselves with sackcloth. On the tops of their houses, in their streets, everyone shall howl, weeping abundantly. And again, this is it's the idea when flesh sees its end. All right? Go to Isaiah 32. Okay, this is where he's warning us, or warning, actually, he's actually warning the women of Jerusalem, but verse 9, rise up, ye women that are at ease, hear my voice, you careless daughters, give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, you careless women, for the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease, be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the... Well, anyway, on and on and on. But anyway, the girding up is first girding up with sackcloth over the flesh, And then then you see, finally, and you gird up the loins of your mind. Amen?
This is like whatever, I mean, the last few examples were grief or mourning. And it's like, be prepared to grieve to the fullest extent without anything else going on. Because we're girding up with sackcloth. It's like nothing else is happening.
Right, and the bottom line is you have to see that you are mourning for your own death at some point.
So we're girding up our mind. Right?
Well, if we were, what we've been talking about for the last 20 minutes was the first gird up with sackcloth all your flesh, all the solutions after the flesh. That's repentance.
Like you said last night?
Yeah. But no, now, next step is we're going to gird up the loins of our mind. You can't gird up the loins of your mind if you have the flesh has still stuff to do.
Indeed. Oh.
Okay?
You mean like, go to the grocery store, son?
Okay, Isaiah 32, we just read that. Now let's go to Jeremiah 1. This is a call to each one of us.
Isaiah where?
No, Jeremiah 1. Starting in verse 4. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, now each one of us has to see this in us. We have to say and see, just as it came unto Jeremiah, now it has to come unto you. You understand that? That's what the whole book is about. It's so the flesh can see its emptiness, so that repent, so you can gird up the loins of your mind. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not that I am a child. I want you to put yourself in Jeremiah's position. We don't know how old he is here, but he's probably in his 20s or 30s. And here comes the voice of the Lord. Now he is in the time when when this happens. Israel is wealthy. They're resting in their tents. Everything is, but not resting according to the Spirit. But just they're at ease with themselves because they look at how good we are. And here's how to get more goods. And so here comes Jeremiah, and I pray that each one of you see this as you, because we are in the same position that Jeremiah was. The church. For the most part, all we hear is how to get wealthy, how to get healed, how to get stuff. No matter where you are, the church I spoke at a couple of months ago out in North Dallas, the pastor was just blown away by how the prosperity gospel is taking away the members of their church, longtime members that had been seduced by this prosperity gospel. By making God your servant in order to get stuff. So each one of us are in this position as if you're a believer. So hear this, as if God were speaking to you. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now that means a prophet here is one that just speaks. And you say, but I can't. I don't know this stuff. I don't, you know, this is crazy. I don't know this stuff.
What stuff that you don't know?
Which is what we're going to see. To be a prophet unto your nation, wherever you are.
So you have to know what's in the Bible?
Well, no, I'm just saying. If God came to you and said, behold, I've made thee a prophet. I ordained thee. And you said, I can't. I don't know what to do. I don't know anything. I don't know the Bible.
Yeah.
I just can never get any place on time. Even if somebody wakes me up an hour beforehand.
Hey, we're just beginning. Give it some time.
Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see... And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then the Lord said unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. And the Lord said unto me, Out of the north shall an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the earth. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one on his throne at the entering of the gates of the Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Therefore, gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, with brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Now, can you possibly believe that God is saying this to each one of us? Gary? Kayala? So the point of it is that you take no thought for what you're going to say.
That's the catch.
See, that's a real thing, God putting words in your mouth. You know, I remember reading that a long time ago, not comprehending it, but I've had so many experiences where I talk and I have no idea where I'm getting this information. And it's His Spirit. And you don't have to know anything except Him.
Well, you have to know the vanity of all human effort, the emptiness of their accomplishments.
Yeah, but you don't have to have the Bible memorized. It's kind of like something like I think Ronnie was referring to.
All right.
It's good to know that.
I just asked that question.
Chosen you from before you were born.
Amen.
I mean, that makes everything that's happened, you know, fit in and not to be regretted. And then it gives you the platform then to go ahead and gird up your loins and speak.
Amen.
Just
and
don't you, think about it. Just go.
And you can have, you know. It's so simple. Just don't be confused by the subtleties of trying to you know, being offended by somebody, or it's just go to Jeremiah 4.
You know, I mean, one of the big things about the prophet was the idea of not fearing men's faces. So often that's how we respond. If we say something in a man's face, it's weird. Then you change what you say to get his face back in order.
Who does that?
I've seen it happen a lot.
It's the thing that if you, that means when you do that, then you're a respecter of persons.
Right. And you don't understand this.
Right. That's the biggest thing that happened to me, because as a new believer, I thought, my God, I can't say this stuff. And I was on television 17 days after I became a believer, hosting a talk show, co-hosting a religious talk show. And people would say stuff that I just knew wasn't right, and I just said it. I didn't think about it. It just happened. Anyway. Now he's talking to Judah. Judah, remember, there's Israel and Judah. The 10 tribes were the nation, were the ones that Israel that got dispersed to the nations real early on. Then Judah was the land of Judah and the land of Benjamin, and that covered the area around where the temple was. And Judah had their main course, their main role was to protect at all costs the bloodline of David. Benjamin's job was to build and furnish the temple. So they're still working in you and I, so that the, you know, anyway, I could go on it. Let's in verse 5 of chapter 4 of Jeremiah. Declare ye in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry, gather yourselves, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defense cities. Now remember, set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste. And he's saying this to that these good guys. Thy city shall be laid waste without inhabitants. For this gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. So again, when you're at resting in your lees, when you've reached a point, or you're wanting something more, then this message is to you. Amen. Okay, Ezekiel 7. Now we are out of time. We'll spend a day or two more on this.
Let's just go through it briefly and see how it happens.
So when the New Testament says that you gird up the loins of your mind, it refers to all these other places.
Right.
It talks about the girding up with sackcloth, because everybody knew this.
Right.
When they talk about girding, they talk a lot about girding up for mourning and grief and repentance.
Right.
And so it's all...
it's all tied together
in that one mention.
Amen. Well, it's mentioned more than once, but...
but the Old Testament doesn't talk about loins of the mind. It's only mentioned in one of the...
we haven't gotten there yet.
It's just like Jesus, you know, takes everything
inside.
This is all about what it means to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. If you can't possess your vessel, you have things to do and places to go and undone. So if that's the case and you can see the vanity of it, then you repent in sackcloth and ashes, and you gird yourself about with sackcloth. That's the first step. And then you have to quiet the roaring lion with no teeth, which is your mind. And you do that by girding up the loins, the generative process of your mind. Okay? And we'll study this some more, I hope. Anybody have any response?
I really have trouble with that word, gird, because of girdle. And
yeah,
I can't hardly translate it to what it means, because I just think of a girdle as something you put on to make yourself look better.
No, that's not.
What do girly men use?
No, that's not. It means a girdle.
Yeah.
Or
you gird up. It's like put on something together.
Yeah.
Hold something in.
Wait, we'll get to this. So make sure you wake up tomorrow. We'll answer your question. Take a big gun.
We need to talk to you.